You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
I don't know how many of you guys have been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm this season.
Love it.
It has been on fire.
Yes.
On fire.
I gave up on it. So you're telling me it turned it around?
What are you talking about?
Three episodes in, I nary a laugh.
You're out of your mind.
Three episodes in, I didn't think.
This has been
And I know with the show, it's not like I go into it. I'm like, same jokes with the same frustration. I like what they do. They have an established brand, the observational humor and whatnot. Larry does his thing. I just didn't find it as funny. So it's just stacked up on the Max app.
It has been an amazing season. This has been one of my favorite seasons of definitely since they restarted.
Okay.
A few years ago.
I'll come back to it because I thought it was a slow start. I did see a clip where they referenced the Breadman of the New York Rangers.
And you didn't like vertical drop, horizontal tug?
Oh,
that was funny.
God, that was so funny, man.
Don't know the reference.
Oh, so you don't even know that Bruce Springsteen shows up at one point.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe I gave up two episodes in.
Bruce.
Oh, man, you got me.
So the third episode
Old
is a vertical
Jews
drop?
And Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen with the cameo of a lifetime.
Oh, no, I did see that. That's where he's like eavesdropping on the swing instructor.
Yeah. Yeah,
that wasn't that funny.
No, come on, man.
It wasn't that funny.
I say all this to say that next episode is the last episode.
I'm so sad.
I don't want it to end. I'll be honest. You know how so many times, Greg, these shows will happen and then they'll get canceled and the cast and the creators will say, well, we didn't even get to have a farewell episode. And now that a farewell episode is about to happen for Curb, I kind of wish they'd just petered out and just stopped doing them, because I'd rather that, wondering, you think there's going to be another one? Maybe he'll come back to it, rather than the finality of it's over.
What a crazy series that's been, where like there's 3 years between the mm-hmm. name, you know, and then finally he comes back. I thought the first episode was disappointing. That's probably the one Mike watched and just gave up on.
Yeah,
it.
I saw two and I will get back to the series. It was always my plan to finish this ride out. It's just I haven't actually heard a lot of chatter around the office that, man, it's so good until now. And it's been several weeks that have passed since I gave up.
I think it's been absolutely the best, one of the best seasons ever. And also there's the whole emotion of the Richard Lewis thing, where he's alive when the series begins.
That's honestly the roughest part of it. Like that sixth or seventh episode, they're at a lunch, and he looks bad.
The day he died was the day after an episode where they talked about being in
their
his
will. Yeah, they were talking about, no, I'm going to leave you in my will.
Yeah. That was pretty chilling coincidence. But other than that, I mean, Mike, they've been batting like 1,000 on
it. I'm stubborn. I think the sign of a man of character is being willing to move off of positions. You guys are telling me it's good. I'll come back.
People are speculating that they're going to end it the way Seinfeld ended.
Yeah, like that he goes to jail. He's going to trial and he's going to lose.
Oh, they put that seed in there with the water.
Yes,
in the Georgia line.
So like it's been a continuing kind of trend throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, this is like
they check into the trial.
About six seasons? No, not that much. Like 5 seasons ago, they decided we want a thread just runs
from the beginning.
The season.
From
really?
The beginning,
because like
the restaurant,
the Palestinian chicken.
Palestinian chicken was one.
Yeah,
the restaurant was season three.
Spite store.
The Spite store.
The Spite mm-hmm. store.
I
like
love
every
that.
When he was on the producers. Remember that was
yeah.
a third? Every season has an overarching
Seinfeld
line.
Reunion.
The Seinfeld, which by the way, gave us the episode of Seinfeld that we didn't know we needed, but we absolutely wanted. It was incredible. Everything about this show is so unique in the sense that, first of all, the obvious, that a lot of it is improv. They give them the outline of, hey, this scene, you're going to be upset about not getting invited to something. But then within that, everyone's riffing, right? The fact that some of the celebrities on there play exaggerated versions of themselves, mm-hmm. like Ted Danson, like Wanda Sykes. Some of them play completely different characters, like J.B. Smoove, like Vince Vaughn, right? But then the thing that's really, I sit back and I'm like, this is pretty incredible, is that Larry David was the co-creator of perhaps the greatest sitcom of all time, in Seinfeld. It made him a ridiculous amount of money. He appeared in many episodes, and yet nobody knew who he was. And then in 2000, he does a mockumentary for HBO. And dare I say it, this is the thing that people know Larry David from now. Like, that's his claim to fame. It's not creating, co-creating Seinfeld. It's Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's way more famous and successful as a result of it than as a result of co-creating the greatest sitcom of all time. Tony, I know you're a huge, huge Seinfeld fan. Like, does that resonate with you in the same way that it does for me? Like, wow. Like, even
for sure, he's a titan of the industry. I mean, when you talk about comedy writing and you have in your belt not only one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, but then you go and do something that's your baby with a lot of those inspirations from Seinfeld and move it over to your own thing and create your own legacy, where now you have two different things that are basically similar, but two of the greatest comedy writings of all time. It's such a cool thing. And like, for me growing up, watching Seinfeld on reruns and then buying like the DVDs where I would watch season by season, you start noticing the thread of Larry, Larry's this character. Yes. Oh, he's old. All the voices of Steinbrenner, of Castro, of whomever. And it's like those kind of threads are great.
You go back in Seinfeld and you can see Larry's touch through like the character, like the soup Nazi. Like in
George.
George Costanza.
Yeah, George. No, but I'm saying like the side characters. Yes. Like the guy that runs their golf club.
Yes.
Like the guy who's mad at Disgruntled. Like, that's a good character. Like, I don't know. You can just see the touch.
For sure. I would say that when you watch Seinfeld, when I watch Seinfeld now, I see an exaggerated sitcom-y network TV version of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. And that's why it was so perfect, because now Max, like, being a platform for Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was available to kind of take what they wanted to do and change it ever so slightly. And it really is a reflection of like what the 90s looked like when you're commenting on all these things, and then what, you know, the 2000s looked like. It really is the turn of the century in terms of comedy.
It was also like, you can make it now rated R.
Exactly. Right? Oh yeah, you can curse.
It was very clean cut. Seinfeld was like, you could tell they could push some boundaries, but not a lot. And
master
then,
my domain.
Right, exactly. You couldn't really say it, but like you were just right there on the edge.
As opposed to him being, get ready with the bleep, a floor episode of
in a cynical world, how do we think Jerry feels about how successful?
I think
and
Jerry's
how much,
all right.
I know he's all right. I'm saying in a cynical world,
chilling, man.
Yeah, he could cry.
I'm not talking about
cars.
Financially. I'm talking about, I don't know. Like
how does he feel?
To your point,
like,
Larry did another one.
It happened in an era where showrunners weren't really as recognized, and Seinfeld got a lot of the credit for, I mean, the show that bore his name. Right. And now, through time, a lot of people that were Seinfeld fans became Curb fans, and they realized, well, was Larry the genius behind all of this? So maybe he might feel some kind of way, although that way might be very, very rich.
Yes. Let me ask you guys this. Is there another example of someone who was instrumental to something massively successful and then went on to eclipse that?
Hmm.
I don't know about eclipse. The only thing I can think of, and it's not in the comedy world or in TV, it's in music, where you have like Dave Grohl was the drummer for Nirvana.
Okay.
And then went on to start Foo Fighters as the frontman.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the
same
sort of deal.
There? No, be careful. What's the argument there?
No, the argument is just hugely successful.
No, hugely successful.
And
more well-known.
I'm not saying, and a lot of
but the band never surpassed Nirvana.
No. But a lot of people would say Curb didn't necessarily surpass what Seinfeld did.
I will say Gorillaz from Anna Blur goes front.
Really?
Yeah.
Blur, track two, Blur.
Yeah,
that's Gorillaz.
Yeah, the side project became bigger than the.
You got to go off mic for the woohoo.
And Blur was massive.
Anyway. Phil Jackson?
Damon Albarn.
Ooh.
Pat Riley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, became bigger than Genesis.
Success, and then all of a sudden was like, I can do this without Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Phil Collins.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
Except Phil Jackson.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. Well, because
Phil Collins works.
Phil Collins, because Phil Collins works. I'm so sorry.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Was that? Not bad. Bigger
than at the peak of his career as a solo artist.
Bigger than
was even bigger.
Oh, man, look at those units.
Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson?
Yeah. Another good example.
Jackson 5 was huge, but
I don't know. And dude, Justin Timberlake has done so much to undo what he did with Future Sex Love Sounds. So much. He's just getting torched. In fact, if you look at the songs that
Are you saying that Justin Timberlake never had it as good as when he was part of NSYNC?
No, I'm saying no. Future Sex Love Sounds was peak JT for so me, but in terms of Justified was great too. But in terms of moving units, nothing really touched that boy band craze.
I think you could say the same thing about Seinfeld. I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like it's on premium cable.
But Justin's music is getting ripped now. Like it's been a long time.
Well, imagine what Larry does after this.
What Justin does is like he works with Timbaland, who as a producer was ahead of its time, ahead of his time when he really had it cooking. But now is a bit of a time. And he just continually works with Timbaland. In fact, the success that Justin Timberlake has had as a solo artist over the last decade is usually when he's working with Max Martin. The great pop stars work with contemporary producers that are constantly pushing the art form, and he's not really challenging himself in that way. He just wants to remain in a comfort zone, suffering because of it.
Let me try to relate to Greg and rope him in here. Greg, was the Jeffersons bigger than All in the Family? Because that was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Yeah, I mean, it was the black All in the Family.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it was designed to be exactly that. I think they're comparable. I think All in the Family was probably a little bit more popular. Just like I prefer Curb Your Enthusiasm to Seinfeld. But if I'm thinking in the macro, Seinfeld is always going to be the top tier of television sitcoms, where I don't think Curb is necessarily on that top tier. I don't think it has the mass.
They're in different conversations. It's like talking about like HBO, Showtime, all those like streaming shows, and then there's sitcoms.
Roy reminded me over here off mic that Family Matters was a spinoff from Perfect Strangers.
From Perfect Strangers. Family Matters is bigger than Perfect Strangers, no?
Yeah. Easily, I think.
So then, but then it would be Harriet Winslow.
Harriet Winslow
is our Larry David, basically. Harriet Winslow, do you guys know this? She was an elevator operator
at the Chicago Chronicle.
Yeah, in Perfect Strangers. And I saw Jaleel White talk about this, where he said the whole reason why was because I think a different world had blown up, and the network was like, we need our black show. And so they're just like, you, come over here, I'll give you your own show. And they literally had no rhyme or reason, no plan behind it. It was just haphazard. TV, huh?
How about it?
How about it, indeed? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't get him.
Didn't you know it?
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So, when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
I miss crank windows. Too many unnecessary conveniences now, cruise control. Please, I've got cruise control built in. It's called my right foot. It controls how fast the car goes. No button or steering wheel lever needed. Power steering. There's another one. Why do I want to give my power to the car? The power that I once had. The car is a ton of metal. I'm a damn college graduate.
Stugatz.
Bluetooth. HD radio. Satellite. I'll take AM, please. With Wolfman Jack talking through the static. And I'll crank the windows down so everybody can hear. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Got one more region of March Sadness updates for you guys. This one is the club. These are different club sounds. A couple of them have video as well, but this is going to be mostly an audio experience for everybody.
And you know March Sadness is presented by Get Your Guide. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com. Thank you, Dad, for distracting me during that.
And you know it.
The first matchup... It's Jessica's Grandma. I mean, this is a number one seed.
Overrated.
Wow. I mean, I'm just saying, it's strong.
Number one.
Jessica, holy shit. I mean, holy crap.
So, I mean, that's
not overrated.
That's tough.
It's overrated. Give me the winner. Give me the winner. She's going up against the winner.
She is going up against 8 seed, and it's Lucy.
I was getting bitches left and right.
I go Jessica's Grandma there, I think, if I'm voting. Luckily, I'm not voting. Luckily, all the people are voting.
Lucy going right to the finals. This is a championship team right here, that 8 seed.
I don't know about that.
In our next matchup, we have 4 seed, Misogynistic Bane.
Fakes. I don't like smelly either. Women stay home in the kitchen where they belong.
I could have used her this morning.
That's a good matchup right there. And that is going against 12 seed. I believe this is the mayor of New York City.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, we've come to the end of what was a very eventful 2023, right? So when you look at the totality of the year, if you had to describe it, and it's tough to do, in one word, what would that word be, and tell me why?
New York. This is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center to a person who's celebrating a new business that's open. This is a very, very complicated city, and that's why it's the greatest city on the globe.
All that was in a club, huh?
All that was in a club.
That was in a club, yep.
Our next matchup, the 3 seed. This is a strong candidate.
Yep.
It is Stephen A. Smith talking about Jason Whitlock.
You fat piece of shit. You fat piece of shit.
Not very nice, but funny.
And very deserved.
And that is going up what I think will win. What we're about to play next, I think, is the winner of this bracket, of this region. It is Stone Cold Steve Austin getting into a cold plunge.
Ha, 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 ha. Ha! God damn it! Whoa! God damn it! Hey, what's up, God damn it! Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Steve coming to the Brosco Ranch. I got this, my new therapy. Hey, what's up, everybody? Steve coming to the Broken Skull Ranch. Hey, what's up, everybody? Steve coming to the Broken Skull Ranch. About to do my first cold plunge and a renewed therapy. My shop says 43 degrees right now, so I'm sure the water is sub 50. I was going to start off at 50. It's going to be a little bit colder than that. And we're going 3 minutes. Here, once it gets on to 12 and 5, 4, 3, 2, down we go. God damn. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha. Son of a bitch. Ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha.
You get the point.
It's 3 minutes.
Just the God damn it. That is
the whistles are made me laugh.
That is strong for me.
The strong, but I don't think it's beating Stephen A.
All right, that might. Yeah.
You said it's gonna win the region.
I just think I see that's a longer clip. The isolated, God damn it, is funny to me. But hey, that's the people will decide.
He's not getting bitches left and right though.
The final matchup. We're not gonna listen to the whole sound. We're gonna just highlight the 2 seed. It's Dabo Swinney talking about the caller. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's classic. We're not gonna play the whole clip, but it's just very dismissive. And that's going against another powerhouse. This is Charles Barkley trying to say the name of the Panthers goalie.
And I'm going to just tell y'all something. Sergei Bobrovka is the goalie for the Panthers. And I'm going to just tell y'all something. Sergei Bobrovka is the goalie for the Panthers.
That's why you got to go Bob.
So go to our social media, vote for these second round matchups, and we will have the results later in the week.
Sounds like a pastry.
It's, you know, it reminds me of, from Giannis's rookie year, it's a sound that's gone viral a million times in the 10-plus years, but it's our guy, Eric Reed, trying to say Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's one of the tougher ones.
I know. And
I know he's a marquee name now, and it seems super disrespectful. When it first burst onto the scene, I didn't really have a point of reference.
Absolutely. Like, no one's saying, like, shame on you, Eric Reed. Eric Reed's a legend. But it is hilarious to hear him say, Antetokounmpo. Like, he's so far off. It's oh, there's Sergei Bobovka.
Sergei Bobovka.
Another Bobka?
Sergei Bobovka.
Give me that, you old bag.
As he runs up the street. Oh, God, I love that show so much. Mike, we've got some condolences that we've got to hand out.
Yeah, well, actually, first and foremost, this happened a couple of days ago, and this show has a unique history with Fort Wayne, Indiana. Back when we were on ESPN and doing a local hour, we would take calls. Feels like a very long time ago. I don't even think we have the ability to take calls. But it was a cool way to get community outreach going. We had callers from Fort Wayne, Indiana. They had this grassroots movement to get people to get the show out to Fort Wayne, Indiana. They even got the buy-in from one of the minor league baseball teams out there. And it became this really big event that started with five people, the Fort Wayne Five, and it blew up to close to 1,000 people showed up to this minor league baseball game in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Even though the entire show couldn't be present, I was the only person that actually was able to make it out there, and I was just totally blown away by it. Everybody was so nice. The mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana came out there and gave me some makeshift key to the city and stood for photo ops. Was a very kind man. His name was Tom Henry. I was very sad to learn from people in Fort Wayne, Indiana, knowing our show's history, that he had passed away. And that made me very sad, because one of the greatest things I've ever done as a pro in this business was that Fort Wayne experience. And it's still a huge bummer that I didn't get to share in that experience with other members of the team, because it was a really great, great day, a really positive day that I think will be remembered for the beginning of the end of us on ESPN, because that's when Dan went on an on-air rant, totally taking advantage of the fact that I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But I do want to pay my respects there. And also, yesterday, it was April Fool's Day, and we were having a discussion about what a really unfortunate day April 1st is to pass away. Not that it's ever a good day to pass away, but you're always skeptical of the news cycle. And I remember the news trickling in yesterday, and some people in group chats were skeptical. Like, is this an April Fool's Day thing? And no, it was legitimate. Very sadly, Vontae Davis, a former Miami Dolphin player, Buffalo Bills, famous Illinois football player, and a productive football player, had a nice little career as a pro. He was found dead down here, right? That was a local story, and that was very sad to hear. I know a lot of Dolphin fans held him in high regard, and so we should also mention into these microphones, rest in peace, Vontae Davis.
I think people remember how he retired, but he really was a good player. He was one of the sneaky best, good for the Dolphins.
At and the then best he went of to the his Colts. Career, he was one of the best corners in the league. Like, when he was down here in Miami, he was really fun to watch and was locked down. It's really sad for those of us who nostalgically remember, but just sad for his family in general. And there's like iconic clips of him from times he was on Hard Knocks and times he's talked about that early retirement, that, you know, he seemed like a really lovable guy.
Seems very genuine.
Sad.
Yeah. You know, it's anytime anyone passes that soon, that early, it's jarring. We don't have cause of death yet, right? It's still unclear.
Wasn't he only 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, only 35 years old.
That's crazy. He retired young, looking back.
He retired at halftime, I believe.
Yeah, famously. Yeah. One of the things that's remembered about him, also wanting to call his grandma after he got traded, and I think this was his grandmother's home that he was found in. He's Vernon Davis's brother, yeah?
Yes,
he is.
Just really sad. He was, you know, he had a good, fun personality to cover for local reporters, so that was sad to see. So definitely a name that we talked about plenty on this show, so I wanted to make sure that we took time out. I didn't want to be accused of not honoring Mayor Henry because of all the fine work that the people in Fort Wayne and all the fine work that he and his office did to make us feel welcome there.
R.I.P. Rest in power to all of them. Let's switch gears here a little bit. I've got something on my sheet that simply says Chrissy three Chugs.
That needs to be updated.
Yeah, it's Chrissy Two Chugs now. Way to go.
Chrissy Two Chugs.
So I tell you, like, I have all these group chats that are dedicated to specific sports.
Yes.
And I really like it because it helps me stay informed on these specific sports.
I'm in
sports
one with
too.
You called Black Panthers.
Yeah, that one's, although we did just sign a player whose last name was Black, and I thought about putting it in there. It's been a pretty quiet chat.
Yeah.
So in the hockey chat,
how did you get in that one?
Black Panthers?
How did I get in? I'm not here to take a quiz.
Well put.
But the hockey chat is actually really buzzing. It's one of the more active chats because this NHL season, as Roy, you can attest, and you would be in this group chat, Roy. But
I have an Android.
Yeah. That's all.
Green text not allowed in any of these.
It's also why you're not in Black Panthers, honestly.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I think the day is coming soon where the green text is getting eliminated, so you'll be welcomed into all sorts of group chats.
Thank you, Mike.
Dying to get you in then, because I think you would actually enjoy this hockey chat. It's been a magical season. Last night on the ice was a crazy night, hugely unpredictable. It's like no one wants to win this President's Trophy. But as a part of this chat, anytime there's a big slate, I do a DraftKings DFS game that everyone in the group chat can partake in. And there's a punishment if you finish last. And Chris Cody is constantly finishing last.
I say constantly. I've stacked up a few L's in recent weeks. I finished last as much as the next guy.
He's lost three out of the last four competitions.
I've won some, too. I'm still, my Venmo's still up.
You won one of the last four competitions.
No. So in this group chat, if you send a double text, it's a chug. Or if you finish last in one of these DFS contests, that's a chug.
If you send a double text?
Yeah, something that is, a piece of media that has already been shared, like you haven't been following, that's
a chug.
Call
those chimmies.
So the penalties in this chat is anything with ice in the name. So you can malt beverages with ice. Yeah. Anything that is Canadian is a chug. Black cherry Schweppes, that takes some explaining that I don't have time to right now.
And milk.
Or a saucer of milk.
A saucer of milk.
Yeah, you also want to have some non-alcoholic options for people that are just trying to do their thing, watching their weight, or just not drinkers. I have a few of those in some group chats. So, yeah, you have to do a saucer of milk, a little kitty cat.
So I did one this morning.
Because it's a Panthers chat, so cats.
Do you have to lap it up?
Yeah, do you have to?
I tried to lick it, but it got on my beard, so then I just drank it like a bowl of cereal milk.
Yeah. So now he's Chrissy Two Chugs. Yeah. But after tonight's DFS competition, he'll be back to Chrissy Three Chugs.
Dan Le Batard.
Amino Hassan.
Stugatz.
Amino Hassan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Do you guys see this in the news? There's a guy in Texas.
This is a late night talk show.
Really? Stand up here? What is this?
Kevin, I don't know if you saw this.
We got a really good show for you guys today.
Did you guys see this the other day?
Musical guest.
I actually did see that in the news. What are you talking about?
See this in the news? A guy out in Texas legally changes his name to literally anybody else.
Yeah.
And he's running for president.
Imagine that.
He's got my vote.
You are correct, sir.
It's perfect.
No, this is... I hate shit like this. Because it's like the guy who ran with under the platform, the rent is too damn high.
Yeah, with the weird beard.
Icon.
The mustache. It wasn't even a beard, right? It was just big.
There was a lot going on.
There was a lot in the face.
Yeah, he was also wearing gloves.
Brewster's Millions also had this, right? Where none of the above was what his campaign said. None of the above.
And they voted for him.
File.
Brewster's Millions. Banger. Yeah. Absolute banger.
You surprise me occasionally.
Yeah,
I've seen it tangentially.
Yeah.
You've tangentially seen Brewster's Millions?
I haven't watched Brewster's Millions.
I'm
man enough to admit that.
What a classic.
Greg, I feel like you're 50-50 on these types of movies. Like, have you seen Brewster's Millions?
No, I thought it was a TV show, to be honest with you.
Greg, I'm right there with you. It sounds like, I guess it's because Punky Brewster.
That's what I'm doing. Yes.
I don't know what that is, but.
You don't know Punky Brewster?
You've seen it tangentially.
I don't know anything you guys are talking about right now.
Oh my God.
Fair enough. It is dated.
Brewster's Millions is Richard Pryor and John Candy, right? And the premise is they're both minor league baseball players, like double A. They're terrible. They're not going anywhere in life. And Richard Pryor discovers that he had a great uncle who was A, incredibly rich, and B, white. And so he left him his entire fortune in the will. But there's a catch. You can either take $1 million right now, sight unseen, just go home, live your life. Or if you can spend $30 million in 30 days and have zero assets to your name at the end of it, you get $300 million.
Whoa.
So, and you can't tell anyone that this is the deal. You're sworn to secrecy, only like the lawyer knows. So he has to go through 30 days spending all this money And his friends are telling him, what are you doing? Like, John Candy's like, you're wasting money.
Burning all your money.
And the whole thing has to be a secret. It's a really fun movie. And I think, Tony, it holds up, right? Like, I don't
Absolutely.
Think,
it's a great movie.
It's not too 1980s-ish.
Yeah, I don't hate the premise.
It's 20 CB in yeah, ways, but again, ways. Like, come on. What do you want us to do here?
I mean, like,
but the concept of it is something that you always hang out with your boys and you're talking about, what if you had this amount of money? Could you spend it?
Could you spend $30 million in 30 days?
Yeah, but the key is you can't have assets.
What a recruiting class, pal. Oh, my goodness.
That's it right there. That's the perfect answer, actually, I think.
That's true.
Okay.
Maybe it is 20 CB. That's true. NIL, yeah.
Everything, like even tennis. I don't care. Everything's winning.
Best golfer in the world.
That really took the win out of myself.
Well, the whole point was you couldn't have assets, right? So you couldn't buy a $20 million house or, you couldn't buy cars. Yeah. You couldn't buy any of these things. Like, he had to rent everything. He lived in a hotel.
He bought a stamp that was worth like $10 million, but then he mailed it.
Right.
He actually used the stamp. Cool. So it's and the whole
hilarity
thing was
ensues.
The Mike Ryan Ruiz Fitness and Education Center.
Well, no, that's
you need more than acid. 30 that's an asset.
You can't.
Can't only, donate to charity.
No. You can't. There's a limited amount you can donate to charity. Mm. Like that part was in there because the whole idea was you can't just say, okay, here's all my money to the St. Jude's or whatever, or the Human Fund. Yeah, and now I'm done. Like that, he had to be, and it had to be. You know, itemized.
Can I bet it?
I don't think gambling was.
It was. It says he may donate 5% to charity and lose 5% more by gambling.
There you go.
So a total of 10% was gambling and charity related.
Okay.
Mm. The NIL is the loophole. That's where it is. Because NIL isn't.
It's a perfect loophole.
It's not charitable. Right?
You think Caitlin Clark's going pro, do you?
How much do you think, if Iowa boosters were like, ain't no way. We got to keep this thing going one more year. How much do you think they could offer her?
You know, the thought is that she's made up her mind, and we didn't even find out what that Fox NIL proposal was supposed to be. It was just something that they were considering. But there's a number. There's got to be a number.
Earlier,
it's not like the pros door closes for Caitlin Clark.
Earlier, Greg tells me after we went off air that you couldn't pay me enough to go to a Joey Fatone concert. And I said, that's
really?
A lie.
Yeah, dude, they're doing covers like half the time. Yes.
It's not even that. I said, Greg, you wouldn't, $500, you wouldn't go? And at $500, he was already considering it.
Well, I mean, if
I can get you there with like a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon and a free drink.
An open tab.
Hey, there's some guy singing All the Small Things into a microphone and they have beer. I'm there.
Joey Fatone did All the Small Things?
Yeah, that's what came up in the random die. My Own Worst Enemy, All the Small Things, and Quit Playing Games with My Heart.
Sounds like my dream concert.
The random draws.
All right, I've heard of the last song. The other two, no.
You heard of the Backstreet Boys song, Quit Playing Games. Yeah. It's a great tune.
Yeah.
Video is just oozing.
So how much do you think Caitlin Clark it would take to just make her say, you know what, WNBA, you're going to have to wait?
There's got to be a Godfather offer out there.
How much
then the
is
big
it?
Three?
Although, like, she's really, especially if she wins a championship.
See, like,
she's accomplished literally everything.
Right.
But that's what if she loses? Like, the Iowa boosters come back and say, you can't leave without a chip. Here's $10 million. Because the difference between the big three and this, Chris, is that this is status quo. Like, big three would be like, this feels almost circus-like, This is like, hey, this is where you're from. This is where everybody loves you, and we have unfinished business. So does $10 million get it done for Caitlin Clark?
Well, here's the thing. You don't need NIL to get rich. Caitlin Clark turns pro. She's going to get her little WNBA salary, and then she's going to get endorsements and advertisements.
She's already getting those, though.
Right.
But dare I say that Caitlin Clark is more famous as a college basketball player than she is as a WNBA player.
You just have no frame of reference for her being a WNBA player. I think the Caitlin Clark phenomenon dwindles with her going to the pros.
At all.
In fact, I think it's a great unique opportunity because she's definitely moved the needle with the women's game in the college ranks. If she goes into the pro ranks and Angel Reese follows her there, she's going up against other top-notch stars that all of a sudden get more of a rub, get more of that spotlight. It's great for everybody.
Sure. But the ratings would suggest that women's college basketball is the superior business product, not basketball product.
You also have to keep in mind, as we're workshopping back here, Jeremy, that there's a TV rights contract, that partially yep. get split with the players in ways that it can't with the college ranks.
Sure, but it gets split at a very, very unfavorable split.
But it's essentially up to whatever network is broadcasting the WNBA going forward, and obviously some of the other sponsors, like shoe contracts and things like yeah. that, to continue to build these narratives up around Caitlin Clark so that when you're tuning in to whatever morning programming, you're seeing Caitlin Clark versus Sabrina Ionescu yeah. or Caitlin Clark also, versus whatever other player.
There's also an aspect of it, too, if you want to consider the NIL, like absent a Godfather offer, Brewster's Million scenario where some dude just shows up here. Hey, love the Hawkeyes. I have all this money. Here's $100 million. I think she's looking around like, I'm not going to make all these right. Iowa fans pay my salary. The system is still unjust.
Right, completely. And to be able to go forward and advance her career, like I think that number would just have to be something ridiculous that would never actually happen realistically, because her star is not going anywhere. Like, she has built this stardom to a point where it is superseding anything else, and WNBA ratings continue to rise every single year. So while they might not be entirely on par with what you're seeing in Women's March Madness, they're rising themselves. That league is going up and up and up and up every year.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't see way too many Caitlin Clark State Farm ads. I'm like, man, every 5 seconds.
Yep.
Every 5 seconds.
I mean, about Aaron Rodgers.
I understand how there's it's pretty amazing that we're at Caitlin Clark fatigue already, but there's a reason why.
No, I know.
There has never been, in certainly women's sports, someone that has moved the needle quite this much, but outside of maybe Serena. But
can I ask?
It's not like tennis was doing bad ratings and then Serena came and rescued the sport. She elevated a sport that was sustainable with the WTA. Women's college basketball, people knew Pat Summitt, people knew Gino Auriemma, they knew two programs, and they largely ignored it. This is the driving narrative over an entire sports day. The gambling companies are saying the most action that they got on any game that happened across all the major leagues was Iowa LSU. That was a moment in time last night.
It was the game of the night, but she doesn't seem to have much of a personality.
But many top-notch
Steph doesn't
Jeter,
have a personality.
Steph does kind of. He plays with a personality, and Caitlin,
right, so
you
does
can
Caitlin
say,
Clark.
You can
right.
say the same thing for Caitlin Clark. But there are plenty of stiff pitchmen out there that are athletes. Hell, Michael Jordan wasn't the most charismatic
what?
Dude.
Ooh.
I know he hosted SNL.
Oh man, this guy. Well, get a load of this guy.
I'm not here to take shot. This is not a shot at Michael Jordan. I don't think he was super charismatic. I think he did just fine. And look, the proof is in the pudding. Is super, the most marketable athlete of all time. But you can build up great campaigns around someone that isn't, you know, effervescent.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the Joker in the house. Joker of the week, Mike Ryan.
I'm sorry, what's the argument? Like, he's not Shaq with charisma. Very few people are, but this is not breaking news that Michael Jordan, who was largely private, wasn't super charismatic.
I'm confused what you're confused about by what Mike's saying.
He's saying that Michael Jordan wasn't charismatic?
No, I'm saying that he wasn't.
Have you seen
his game
Space Jam?
His style of play
is
was.
It mean being sarcastic?
No, I'm not being sarcastic. Like, I'm not way pre-Space Jam. The number of ads he was in that were based on his personality.
The number of ads that weren't based on his personality. Like Mike while he's just dribbling a basketball. Most of the pitches that were around him, he didn't really have speaking roles. In fact, the one time that they decided to turn to his personality, he had a weird Charlie Chaplin mustache.
Can I play? No.
Yeah, Charlie Remember, Chaplin. Like Dude, that's led by his skill and his greatness, though. He's not getting those ads because of his personality. Like, I'm baffled by...
I'm baffled by you saying he doesn't have a personality.
Well, I feel a little bit better because people have come to my defense and you were just so strong in that. No, he was charismatic. I don't remember him that way.
I have to agree with Mike, and I don't often, quite
and
frankly.
You are a legendary sports writer.
Here's the thing. Michael Jordan,
where'd that come from?
Whoa. Michael Jordan was famous for going his entire career being unquotable. You know, not saying anything interesting.
But he was charismatic in saying nothing
his
interesting.
His game was.
What?
His game was.
He was
all right,
you absolutely can take,
the
charismatic.
The character of a man is being able to know that when you can change things or when you're wrong. Come on. Just admit it.
Admit what?
You were wrong.
I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
And you know it.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football.
So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.